You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman. Who are the most powerful women in U.S. sports? In an industry that for decades has been dominated on the field and in the boardroom by men, a select group of women have made tremendous progress in not only breaking through the proverbial glass ceiling and avoiding the trap doors, but shattering it altogether. I'd like to lift up my favorites to pay a small but very sincere tribute to women: Michelle Roberts, Serena Williams, and my teammate, Val Ackerman. First off, Michelle Roberts. She's the executive director of the NBA Players Association, and she's just amazing. As the first woman to lead a major professional sports union in North America, Roberts, who's 62 years old, is a Cal Berkeley Law graduate and a former trial lawyer for Skadden Arps. She now plays a pivotal role in representing the interests of some 350 NBA players and more than $3 billion in league salary distributions. Now, the labor agreement with the NBA players was signed through 2024, so we can all rest assuredly that the ball that we love will continue. But there's some changes to the NBA's early entry rule, known as the one-and-done rule, is the next significant negotiation that Roberts and the union has with the NBA. So in this part of the country, we talk about one-and-done a lot because we've watched a school down the street seemingly go from junior, senior-dominated players to a philosophy that looks like a shift. But when you talk to that head coach, he says there is no shift. I've had great players throughout the years, and if there were a one-and-done rule back in the 80s and 90s, his players would have taken advantage of that. But the perception now is that that school down the street is now one of the leading institutions for attracting young men who will come and play amazing basketball for one season, go to school for one semester, and then they're off to their professional pursuits. Mo' money, mo' money, mo' money. Well, in the aftermath of a previous leadership of the NBA Players Association, with many, many accusations of nepotism and questionable financial practices, Roberts has restored order and a stronger relationship with the union's rank-and-file players. She's been able to recruit the NBA's top players into leadership roles on the Players Association Executive Committee, including LeBron the King James, Stephon Curry, Paul Gasol, and C.J. McCollum. I love this story about Roberts and how she became interested in the field of law. It began when she was a child, when she and her mother attended criminal trials at the Bronx Supreme Court. Roberts stated, "I thought it was a play. I didn't understand the significance of it, and much of it was her translating the play for me. I just thought it was great. I loved it." But then one day, a family friend appeared in court for a bond hearing and eventually pled guilty and spent time in jail. Roberts then said, "Where'd he get that lawyer from?" And her mom said, "Well, he can't afford another one." And that's when Roberts pronounced, "I'm going to represent poor people charged with crimes." What a story and what a journey she's had. She was a public defender in Washington before joining the private sector and specializing in white-collar litigation. I met her in 2015 at the NBA's first World Africa game, where the NBA asked its top players to go to Johannesburg and compete against those NBA players who were either born or raised on the continent. Just an amazing experience. I was blessed to be a part of her staff's tour group of the Apartheid Museum in Johannesburg. The experience was very, very powerful, memorable, and to share that time with her is a memory I will never forget. Michelle Roberts, Executive Director of the NBA's Players Association. One of my all-time favorite sheroes is Serena Williams, the world's highest paid female athlete. Williams has captured an open record of 23 Grand Slam singles titles, including the 2017 Austrian Open while pregnant, and has won 86% of her career matches, bringing her career prize money to $84 million, nearly $50 million more than any other female tennis player. She has more than a dozen endorsement partners over a wide range of industries, including Intel, Tempur-Pedic, Beats by Dre, Gatorade, J.P. Morgan Chase, Nike, and Wilson. She also joined the board of SurveyMonkey recently and was one of the celebrity investors to purchase a stake in the UFC in 2016, mixed martial arts. And of course, she continues to expand the definition of an athlete with her transparency and social justice efforts. In case you missed this major story, let me share with you her latest very public message regarding healthcare in America. While Serena was pregnant, it pretty much went off without a hitch. Postpartum was where the problems began. She underwent an emergency C-section after her heart rate dropped dangerously low during labor, and that surgery went smoothly. And the next day, she began to feel a shortness of breath that quickly turned to gasping for air. Given her history of blood clots and the fact that she had been, for the moment, taken off her anticoagulant regimen, she immediately alerted the medical staff, requesting a CT scan, which ultimately revealed blood clots in her lungs. The intense coughing fits triggered by the pulmonary embolism caused her C-section incision to reopen, sending her back into surgery, where doctors found that a large hematoma had built up in her abdomen. To keep more clots from forming and reaching her lungs, surgeons inserted a filter into a major vein. Serena Williams left the hospital a week later and was confined to bed for more than a month after giving birth. Serena Williams, she's one of the lucky ones. At a time when maternal mortality rates are disturbingly high among American women, especially women of color, someone with her same symptoms might have slipped through the cracks. Even women who have every advantage are still susceptible to the screw-ups and missed signals that turn the happiest moment in someone's life into a nightmare. And it happens more often than any of us should be comfortable with. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strong. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman. I'm lifting up a few women who have done amazing things in the world of sports. In fact, they're trailblazers. They're role models for boys and girls, men and women all across the world. I first opened up talking about Michelle Roberts, a very bright, a very accomplished lawyer. She's the executive director of the NBA's Players Association, where she now represents the interests of some 350 NBA players and more than $3 billion in league salary distributions. One of her biggest challenges will be negotiating the NBA's one-and-done rule. Does it work best for the interests of the NBA players to have young people play for a year, come in with a fan following, easy to market now that certain segments of the country or even the world are familiar with these players? Will that help drive up salaries? Or does it hurt? We've certainly heard the outcries from fans of college basketball saying that the NBA is prohibiting players from reaching their dream. They should be able to go right away. Or they're hurting their college team and its potential. A player can come in, play for a season, take classes for a semester, and be gone. Well, Michelle Roberts will be one of the most important people in this decision to make a change or to firmly support One and Done, Michelle Roberts, American Shero. I also talked about Serena Williams. We all know her tennis greatness, arguably the greatest of all time, having won an open-era record of 23 Grand Slam singles titles and winning the 2017 Austrian Open while pregnant. It's hard to say that there's anyone more accomplished than Serena Williams, and not to mention her success as a doubles player with her sister Venus. But I also mention Serena because of her off-the-court leadership and how she continues to open doors and shine the light on things that many times we don't pay attention to. The major story most recently was the problems that she had after her pregnancy, when postpartum started for her and how she struggled. I shared the story of the troubling situation in the hospital where she perceived, because she knows her body so well, that something was wrong. But yet, the doctors did not respond as quickly as they should have. Serena could be considered one of the lucky ones or one of the blessed ones. At a time where maternal mortality rates are disturbingly high among American women, especially women of color, someone with Serena's same symptoms might have slipped through the cracks. The painful lesson from Serena Williams and too many others is that even women with every seeming advantage are not immune. Healthy women, young women, women with advocates in the room, with good, dedicated doctors, and medical backgrounds themselves are all at risk. The statistics they are up against are worrisome. We should be troubled. American women are 3 times more likely to die during childbirth than Canadian women, 6 times as likely as Scandinavian women, and the rate of maternal mortality has only climbed in recent years, and more than half of those deaths were preventable. What's going on in America? Why and how can this happen? Serena points out that mothers die because their self-evaluation, that something is not right, goes unheeded by physicians, and because their pain is not taken seriously. They die because, while medical interventions for high-risk infants have advanced, attention to maternal health innovation has stagnated. They die because of honest oversights and egregious ones, because of racism, sexism, and lack of access to prenatal and postnatal care. They die because they happen to deliver on a weekend, when data shows that the risk of maternal mortality shoots up almost 50%. They die because of complications attributed to pregnancy at advanced maternal age, because of lack of communication between different doctors, because of a broken healthcare system. They die because someone wasn't paying close enough attention. The truth is that Serena Williams was fortunate to have had advocates in her hospital room, as well as knowledge to ask for a CT and the power for that request to be taken seriously. For a different woman in a different hospital with a different medical team or status to leverage, that same condition could potentially turn fatal without adequate intervention. When Williams shared her story, she also helped raise awareness for the fact that no amount of wealth or fame can insulate a woman from risk during a major medical event. She is doing women, mothers, everywhere a favor, because it's a subject that sorely needs our attention. Thank you, Serena. You're a champion forever. And lastly, I'd like to lift up my dear friend Val Ackerman, who was named the 5th commissioner of the Big East Conference on June 26, 2013. Yes, that made her the first woman athletic director of a Power 5 conference. And before Val became the founding president of the Women's National Basketball Association, also known as the WNBA, she served as David Stern's right arm. Yes, David Stern, the former president of the NBA. Val Ackerman is the past president of USA Basketball, which oversees the U.S. men's and women's Olympic basketball program. And she's had a long and accomplished career in the sports industry and is one of the few sports executives who has held leadership positions in both men's and women's sports at the collegiate, professional, national team, and international levels. Val has done consulting work for the NHL, the National Hockey League, in which she assisted in formulating a long-term plan to support women's ice hockey. Who would have thought? And the NCAA, for which she prepared a comprehensive white paper in 2013 on growth strategies for women's college basketball. Now, for those of us who stay true and near and dear to women's basketball, we know that we have a very dire situation on our hands. Women's basketball is a great sport, but yet our attendance numbers are down. People are still debating whether or not UConn's dominance. Yes, UConn women's basketball, under the leadership of Coach Gino Auriemma, is going for its 12th, yes, 12th national title, and they've been undefeated 7 seasons. Is that good or bad for women's basketball? And of course, we know there has been many, many changes to the game. Are women engaged? Are we keeping up? Are we supporting the analytics movement? More to come. Val Ackerman and the celebration of women. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strum. You're back with Dr. Debbie Stroman, and you're listening to If You Only Knew. I'm lifting up a few of my favorite sheroes in the sports industry. Started with Michelle Roberts, the amazing executive director of the NBA's National Players Association. Serena Williams, arguably the greatest of all time on the tennis court. And lastly, my dear friend and teammate Val Ackerman, who is the 5th commissioner of the Big East Conference. That made her the first woman AD of a Power 5 conference. She was also David Stern's right arm for the NBA. She's done consulting work for the National Hockey League, where she assisted in formulating a long-term plan to support women's ice hockey. She's been a freelance columnist for ESPNW.com, where she's authored a series of articles on the subject of women in sports and participated as a member of the ESPNW Advisory Board. In 2016, Val was recognized by SBJ, Sports Business Journal, also known as the Wall Street Journal for the sport industry, as one of the 50 most influential people in the sports business industry. I was a guest of hers at the Women's Sports Foundation's banquet, where she received the Billie Jean King Contribution Award for her significant contributions to the development and advancement of women's sports. What a momentous and star-studded event. I will never forget that. But Commissioner Ackerman says that there needs to be more women in senior management positions, especially in college sports and on the international level. Well, who can argue with that? Well, perhaps you need some research. A study was released in 2016 called "Is Gender Diversity Profitable? Evidence from a Global Survey." This survey analyzed 21,980 firms in 91 countries, and it was conducted by a Washington-based think tank called the Peterson Institute for International Economics. At the heart of it is the basic core notion that there is definitely a positive correlation between the proportion of women in corporate leadership and firm profitability. Yes, you can make more money by having more women involved in your organization. The report also makes an important point about the value of an organic pipeline of female managers throughout an organization, as opposed to simply installing a female CEO at the top. The study states The largest gains in company performance are for the proportion of female executives, followed by the proportion of female board members. The presence of female CEOs has no noticeable effect on firm performance. This pattern underscores the importance of creating a pipeline of female managers and not simply getting lone women to the top. The report also emphasizes that the amount of profitability shown by the data is significant. The estimated magnitudes of these correlations are not small. For profitable firms, a move from no female leaders to 30% representation is associated with a 15% increase in the net revenue margin. Those are numbers that any company or organization would love to have. While Val and I attended UVA, where she was one of the school's first female student-athlete scholarship recipients. In fact, before all the money started flowing into women's sports, she actually shared a scholarship with another teammate. Dory got some money for tuition, and Val got some money for housing and books. My, how times have changed. Val was a 4-year starter for our basketball team, a 3-time captain, and 2-time academic All-American for UVA, and the first 1,000-point scorer in our program's history. She graduated with high distinction, with a degree in political and social thought, and played 1 year of professional basketball in France before earning her law degree from UCLA. Giving thanks and paying tribute to women should happen each and every day. Nonetheless, I'm grateful for the national attention each March to incredible women in our current times and in the past. Thanks for listening. If You Only Knew, with Dr. Debbie Strumman.